welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Please speak to my heart. Lord, speak to our hearts. Teach us your way, Lord. I want us to pray and tell him that, Lord, we don't want to hear the voice of a man, but we want to hear him speaking to us. All we want to listen to is just his voice, speaking to our hearts, telling us what he wants us to do, and how we can know him more through his word. That this word this morning will not be a parable, but a living truth that will change our hearts. That will not speak to us again in parable, but it will break everything down to the content of what we need to feed on. Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are welcome once again to this teaching on how to study our Bible. We started this topic yesterday and we stopped, or we are able to lay a foundation of the Jesus that we receive, and which is the main thing that we need to study, or the foundation of our study, the life of Jesus. But today we'll be moving ahead. We'll be seeing some things we need to observe and we need to understand about how to study the Bible, and which are very, very important for us. Most times these are the problem we encounter during our Bible study life. But most of us never see it like that. Things to understand. Things we need to understand that is necessary for Bible study. Things we need to understand that is necessary for Bible study. The factors that helps us in Bible study. Like yesterday, we were saying something about the day we give our life to Jesus Christ, we become a baby in the hand of God. Then because we are a baby, we have to be what? We have to be nurtured. So we go up to a stage where God can break bread and what? And give it to us to what? To eat. Things we need to understand. Number one, we need to understand our present state spiritually. To study the Bible effectively, we need to what? We need to understand our present state spiritually. We must be truthful to ourselves. You must know, or I must be able to sit down and check whether I'm a baby or I'm mature. If I'm a baby and I'm trying to break bread for myself, would that be possible? No. I will just be what? Struggling at the same point. And that is what is causing problem for most of us. You just carry the Bible. Bam. Then, you start. One day I was looking at a particular scripture. I was trying to study a particular scripture. That was very far. I was very young. I was around 12. I just got born again, and I used to saw this elder brother using Every Day with Jesus. So I started, one day I just carried Every Day with Jesus and I started reading. And by the side, there is always questions, like two questions and scriptures to answer those questions. Then I carried and I started trying to answer those questions. I tried all my best. But the problem is that at the end, I was confused. Then I dropped Every Day with Jesus. Then I said, okay, let me start reading my Bible. I will understand. But for years, the Bible is what? It's close. Then after a while, I met somebody that invited me to a particular place. We only meet Thursdays. So all I do is, I'm the smallest, very, very short. And our teacher then, Bede Bram, we just look at him. What's this boy looking for? I will just sit down. By the time they share the grace, carry my Bible, run away. All I do is what? To draw strength or to feed from the milk of what? That's why what they are saying is very hard. But it's helping me from that Thursday to like Monday to Tuesday before I go back. Then I'll be praying for another what? Another Thursday again. So that I can be what? I can be breastfed. So you must understand our state. It is very important. Because if we don't know where we are, the Bible will confuse us. If we are a baby, all we need is to what? Depend on what our teachers, that you know who they are, that what they are teaching is nothing but what? The truth. Let's feed on what they are teaching us. Going back into our notes, studying, sitting down with those notes, putting our mind into what? A work of thinking over those things and practicing them. It's enough for us. Not looking for new revelations. That's another problem we have. We like looking for what? New revelations. Ah! See how Brother Lamide preached. Me too, I will carry that Daniel and go and study it. And I want to see more than what Brother Lamide talks about. At the end, you find yourself still going back. By the time you read the first verse, this is how Brother Lamide explained it. Then you start, by the time you dance, you still come back to how Brother Lamide what? Explained it. You never move forward. Because at that point, all you need is to feed on what? He has explained. By the time you feed on it, you accept it as a food and you practice it. One day, just a meditation take you to another level. One day, just a meditation on those thoughts. The first thing is accept it. After accepting, then practice. Just a day on meditation, you will understand better. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The stage of a babyhood is a stage where we need to do what? To allow our mothers, our fathers in faith to breastfeed us. That is why in some churches, after you've given your life to Christ, the next program is believers class. So that we can what? We can be nurtured. Then after believer class, they will look at, okay, let's move you to school of what? Disciples. So that they can what? They can help you more. Like that. But you give your life to Christ today, then the next thing you are jumping to is seminary. From new birth to theological seminary, what will happen to you? By the time they come to you, one lecture will just come. There is no L. And you will defend it to the end. Then another one will come and tell you that there is L and there is heaven. And there is Satan. See, this thing is practical. I'm not just telling you stories. I have a brother that went to seminary. And he's not born again when he went. So the issue is, when they got there, they will come back home and tell you that, look at that man, Ajomi, he's a crazy man. Then they will ask you, what happened? See, the man said there is no hell, and he explained that he defended it. Then the other man came and said, there is hell, and started arguing. Tell me, what will happen to the students? They will be confused. They will be confused. So at that point that we are being battered, all we need is what? Milk. So that I will not talk too much. Let's see this scripture. 1 Peter 2:2. First Peter chapter 2 verse 2. Like newborn babies, from Amplified Bible, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirsty for, earnestly desire, and earnestly what? Desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may what? You may be nurtured and grow unto completed what? Salvation. So, when we understand our state as a what? As a baby, the next thing is what? Is to crave for the sincere milk. A baby, the mother will not feed the baby if the baby is not crying for what? For food. If not, I try to feed the baby, and the baby is just in, and the baby will move his or her mouth, then mother will look at you, you are not serious. You just carry the baby, put the baby down. The same thing applies to us spiritually. When we don't crave for it, we will never have it. When we don't long, when our heart desire is not for it, we can never have it. When we don't desire having that food and taking it from the people we need to what? Take it from. You can never have it. The food can never be yours. We have to what? Crave. God must see that sincerity that we are ready to what? To take in. Before he can what? He can release. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Do you know that everything we've been talking or they've been teaching since yesterday, in our heart, there's a way the Holy Spirit break it down. Do you understand me? In our heart, there's a way the Holy Spirit what? Breaks it down. What would allow me, they said, it is not the way you receive it that believer will receive it. Do you understand? Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows your own state. Despite you might think that you don't need it, then the Holy Spirit will now break it down, and bring it to your own smallest understanding. Then you start applying to things in your own life. By the time you explain the same thing, people that are grown up in faith, they will see it and they will know that this is coming down for your own what? Level. And if somebody ahead of you will take the same thing and explain it, you find that there's a what? There's a difference. Because you are bringing it from a state of a baby, and what you are saying, explaining, is just a milk. And the person is coming to you to what? To break it into what? Bread. So, understanding our state as a baby, we still need what? To crave for that food. How do we crave for it? After the note is being given, you do what? You go back. We are not just to have fat notes in this school. We are to what? Go back. That's the only way to crave. After giving us everything and all this stuff, you go back home and say, okay, God, this thing explain to me. Bring it to my own what? Understanding. That's the act of craving as a baby. God promised us yesterday that what? We will know intimately, acquainted, progressively, how the secret of who? Of Jesus. But this is the only way to know it. If God tell us some things, our head will spark. That's why sometimes by the time God starts teaching you some things, he will stop at a point. Because he knows that at that point, that is where your spirit man can what? Can endure that word. The last point. If it continues from that point, you will be confused. We need to understand our what? States. Then after understanding it and see ourselves as a baby, Then the next is what? To crave after the milk. Be thirsty. And the action behind it is what? Going back and what? Sitting down with the things you have what? Learned. 2 Timothy 3:14 that we read yesterday said, continue in the things that you have what? That you have learned. Knowing whom you what? You learned it from. So by this, we find that some things, see, some things will just start rubbing on us just because of what? You are just feeding on the milk that was given to you. We just find that some things is just setting itself right. And sincerely, most problem, the paramount problem in Bible studies, most of us, we are too proud. We are not humble. That's why we don't go back to our notes. And Bible said, God sees the what? The proud. How? You just see my power off. Then what is the end? He will come down. And the one that humbles himself to go back to his notes, what will God do to him? God will now lift him up. As the person is going back to his notes, studying what somebody has received as a food from the throne grace of God and breaking down to milk for you, immediately we sit down on it and we start feeding on it, we start increasing. Then that's where God increase or lift the ones that they are what? Humble. That's when he lift them up. But the pride that doesn't want to go back to the notes, that believes that he knows it all and close it, will always come down from the pedestal of whatever he knows. So the number one thing is we knowing our states, recognizing where we are, and trying to help ourselves out. Trying to help ourselves out is what? Craving. Sitting down. If you are not humble, you can't sit down. If you are not humble, you can't sit down. If you are not submissive, you can't sit down. You always what? There's no how you sit down. Before they say one thing, you are already on your feet. Yes, 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 yes. Don't shout yes, yes, yes. Put your heart to it. Write it down. Take it back home. Study it. Let it become life. Throw excitement away. That's another problem. Excitement. Throw it away. Let it become life and experience. Knowing our state, most of us, we are still babies. And all our thinking, we deceive ourselves that we are what? We've grown up where we can feed ourselves. And because of that, we are still confused. When God still puts you under somebody, I want to do as if you know more than that person. Tell me, what is your level? In fact, just still trying to behave that you know more than that person still shows that you are a baby. Still shows that person is what? He's a baby. So when it comes to the issue of Bible study, it's a issue of we not deceiving ourselves. That's why a lot of things, God has given us a lot of revelation, we can't do them. Just because of what? Because we are too proud. Most of our problems, most of the things we are passing through, there is a solution to it. The solution is in your hands. The solution is in our hands. But what do we do to it? We close it up and put it under our clothes. Then when it is time to go for one service, then we carry the note out. We dust it. Then we put another log of revelation into it again. Then we close it. Then we hide it. Then everything we are passing through, everything we are shouting, God, I'm tired. Somebody has given you a solution to it, but you've not went back. So most times we are babies, but all our thinking is that what? We've grown up to a stage where we can draw from the throne room of grace, bread of life that you can break and eat by ourselves. By the time you now break, you start eating it, you find that your teeth is what is aching you. Then you run back. That baby there, if you give that baby fish that has bone, what will happen to the baby? As a baby, they feed us. Then after a while, your mother will carry amala with the wedu. Then you will mix it together. They will do what? You put it in your mouth and you take it. At that time, all your mouth here is full of what? Then the mother will use hand too. Then the mother will put it in her mouth. That's the same thing applies spiritually. Then after a while, they'll start putting small steel to mix it. Then they'll give us again. They'll taste it. That's where God is working with us. Then after a while, they will put fish, they will remove all the bones. Then we eat. Then after a while, they will look at you, they will just give you fish and bone. By yourself, what will you do? You remove the bone, you eat the fish. Then after a while, they give you chicken. Then after a while, they give you cow meat, beef meat. They'll give you beef that has a lot of bones. By yourself, you just, you throw the bone away because you know that the bone is not what? It's not good for you. But sincerely, we don't want to pass through that stage. We want to jump because we saw a lot of people ahead of us. We don't try to imagine or try to see what they passed through before they got to that point. And it has always been a problem for us. A Bible study life requires humility. Humility will bring us down to look at our state. Then our sincerity will what? We come in. Then we crave for what we need. That's number one thing. And that's the A part of understanding our present state. The second one is the level of maturity. That is when we've grown up. And at that point, that's where this scripture applies. John 6, 32 to 35. John 6:32. Let me read from this place so that we'll be fast. Sorry, man. Jesus then said to them, I assure you, mostly solemnly, I tell you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven. What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true heavenly bread. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and give life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always, all the time. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me will never be what? Be thirsty anymore at any time. Verse 36. But as I told you, although you have seen me, still you do not believe and trust in me. In the wilderness, the Israelites, they cried for what? For manna. Then God did what? He fed them with manna, but they ate it into what? To their own destruction. They were destroyed by it. And he said, this bread is not from heaven, but there is a bread that is what? That is from heaven. And that bread, it is who? Jesus himself. I am the bread of life. Anyone that eats me will never be what? Be hungry. I am the fountain of life. If you drink from me, you will never be thirsty. This is the level where God is actually expecting everyone to get to. Where we eat from the life of Jesus Christ, where we eat from his death, and drink from his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And what that does to us, it is that it makes us to become more like Christ. And that's the essence of Bible study. To make us to become more like what? Like Christ. And the only way is to be what? To be hungry and to be thirsty. As a mature Christian, if there is no hunger, there will never be food. If we are not thirsty, there will never be living water. The way God reveals himself to us determines how hungry we are for him. The way he releases the water from heaven to us depends on how thirsty, how is our throat, how are you thirsty for him to know him more and to be like him. These are the determinants, and these are the things that help us to build a good Bible study life. That by the time we sit down, all we are craving for is what? Just to know him. That's why I said yesterday, I said the Jesus Christ that was on the cross, to study him, you know everything about him on the what? On the cross. But the one that gives blessing, breakthrough, and just take away from your generational curse, what would they do? They will keep on showing you where curses are in the Bible, so you can always fight through. They will show you where blessings are in the Bible, so you always run after blessing. So, our hunger for God determines how the Bible will be open to us. Our hunger for God determines how the Bible will be open to us. Determines how God himself will commit himself to us. He said, for he knows their thoughts. When they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna. The Bible said, he knows what was what going on in their hearts. And he refused what? To trust himself to them. And they were all praising him. Everybody carries the Bible. Everybody reads the Bible. But it's not open to what? To everybody. It is not open. The Bible is a closed book if the Holy Spirit doesn't what? Doesn't open it to us. And these are the things that help our spiritual life. Studying the Bible. But something makes God to commit himself to us, which is what? Our hunger and our thirst. Our craving for the sincere meek that is not diluted with anything, just pure as it is from heaven. When we get to a stage where we can feed on our own, we will know. You don't understand? Because at that point, sometimes God may do it in such a way that you that were in the midst of brethren where they were feeding you, God will not take you away from that point. I will not go and throw you in one bush. Yeah? You need to what? Everything you've been eating, you now bring it back. You eat it again. By the time you finish eating that one, then now I start asking you to open your Bible. Then you start speaking to you. To show you that at this point, you need to start what? Feeding directly from me. But most times, most of us, we are still babies. all we need is the sincere, pure milk of the Word of God to grow spiritually. If you can understand this, you will find out that our spiritual speed will increase. The way we live will change. Because the more we practice, the more we receive what people have given to us, and they are older than us, the more we practice what they are giving to us, the more we what? Our life improves. Our life improves and become more like the life of Christ. A lot of things about us will start changing. Like somebody was saying yesterday, when I said, somebody asked her, I said, what happened to this girl? Which soap do you use to bath? Because before living here, she decided to do something. And she said, you, this TV I used to watch, I will not watch you again. You don't have power over me. And this discussion that I used to sit down doing, that doesn't have anything doing in my life, I don't want to do it again. What makes her to make that decision is because she received something that's what she accepts to be a food to eat at that time. A baby that is taken from her mother, the baby is what? Eating. We that we are eating solid food, what are we doing? We are all eating. But the food, the content of the food is what? Is different. The number two thing that we need to understand which I have even talked about, but I just want us to look at a particular scripture. Another scripture on that, so we can move. Luke 6, verse 12. Those days, he went out. Jesus Christ doesn't just come up and say, because I am the Son of God, I don't need to know more about who, about the Father, or about what he needs me to what to do. So in those days he separated himself out of the crowd, out of the attention and the counseling that he's doing then, to what? To separate himself to a mountain. All he went to do is what? To pray. It shows that there is something in the life of Jesus Christ that is driving him out of the people to what? To stay alone with who? With the Father. It is our own God that will make you to know that this is time to study. Nothing should disturb me. Then you separate yourself from who? From everything that can distract us. He knows that it is time to pray, to ask the Father, what is your will at this point? He knows. He don't just assume because he's the Son of God. So most of us, most times we assume, God understands. I will study my Bible tomorrow morning. What happened today? You've cancelled. I've cancelled Bible study. Then by tomorrow morning, do you know what will happen? Somebody will just call you maybe 5 a.m. Maybe one of your brother that is you expected so much and asked you to come down to somewhere. By the time you come back, you've not eaten since yesterday. And this maybe another 2 o'clock, there's no food in your what? In your stomach. What will happen to you? You will be weak. Physically, by the time you just sit down like this, what will you do? You just sleep off. The same thing happens spiritually. By the time you sit down in your spirit man, what will happen to you? Your spirit man will just sleep off. You will not be sensitive to anything. At that time, that is when Satan fires arrow. And in your dreams, they bring a lot of things that will make you, or that will not help you to be able to study your Bible or even stand up to pray. By the time you wake up, that's what you'll be meditating on. The dream is a distraction. Or maybe you just had a dream and you saw a boy, and as you're going, that boy just stopped you and was started toasting you. Before you know, you kissed the boy in your dream. By the time you wake up, I kissed the boy. Hey, I kissed the boy. That is what you'll be thinking till the day is off again, and you are unable to study. It's a distraction from the kingdom of hell. Just one simple time out in the presence of God, it is an opportunity for the Satan to what? To come into our life and bring us down from the pedestal of the spiritual life with what we've gathered, and bring us to nothing. Hunger. The third thing is the texture or the condition of our hearts. The texture or the condition of our hearts for Bible study. So from this place, that's when I'll start explaining with this diagram I have on the board. We'll be reading from Matthew 13, like what Alamide said earlier. We'll start from verse 1 to verse 9. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 from verse 1 to 9. But we'll take it one after the other. At the same day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting beside the sea. But such great crowds gathered about him that he got into a boat and remained sitting there while all the trunks stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, stories by ways of illustration and comparison, saying, a sower went out to what? To sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the roadside, and the bird came and ate them. The first illustration is the sower went out to what? To sow. And as he was spreading the seeds, what happened? Some fell by the what? By the roadside. The roadside is always like this. Let's say this is our main road, like partial walkway. Then this is the main road. Then this is another walkway. We have sounds all around. Abby? Let's say the man is walking by this side. He was walking on the walk and he was going. Then the seed fell. And around this point, this particular place is exposed to a lot of things. It's exposed to animals, Abby, and it's exposed to woman feet. So you can decide not to walk on this place and decide to walk here. And now imagine that there is a corn, a seed of corn here. The first person passed, mashed it. The second person step on it. The third person step on it. The fourth person step on it. What will happen to that seed? The seed will die. Now imagine that a bird is just flying. Oh, and the bird just came. Just pick it. Pwah. Is that seed useful again? The seed is not what? Most times, the art we take to God in Bible study, they are like this. They are like what? They are like this. The heart is too open for a lot of distraction. The heart is not guided for God to walk on, or for the word of God to drop on and have a way or have something to do in our life. Most times, as we're studying, that is when we start thinking of the eba you put inside the freezer that you want to eat in the afternoon. At that time is when we remember that somebody is owing us money and we need to go and collect it. At that time, we know that there's a project that we need to what? We need to do. And we want to receive from God. It is not possible. Because for every word that God will speak at that point, it will not have his way. Immediately it drops and you meditate on it. And those stuff flashes on. What happened? Everything is what? Off. That's what happened to this kind of ground. Just imagine somebody just spread some seed here. This particular place. This is a sandy soil, Abby. And everybody's marching on. What will happen to it? There's no enough space for the seed to go down and what? And die. So the seed remain on the what? On the surface where people can what? Can easily destroy it. So this kind of act destroys the word of God in us. And it's open to Satan to do whatever he likes on it. When God was reading meaning or was trying to interpret that place, he said, the bears does what? They came and what? And pick it up. Because you don't even have the opportunity of even going into the ground. Talk less of seed coming out. Most times that's what we do. We are going into God's presence with a shallow heart. And we want to receive from God. We are going to God's presence with a heart that a lot of things is what? It's just moving, just everything. And he said, God is not speaking to us. Tell me, how will God speak to you? Just imagine, you just want to read your book, you want to study your book, and you are thinking about a lot of things. What will happen to you? Will you be able to study? There will not be concentration. And that's what we experience most times whenever we are studying our Bible. Our heart is thinking of a lot of things at the same time. Yes, we've separated ourselves from people that can disturb us. Now, our problem is our what? Our heart. Our problem is not our heart. Then, at that point, do you know what Satan will now do? Somebody that offended you, they will bring the person thoughts. Somebody that abused you, he will bring the old stuff back. You will play it. In fact, it will be as if that person is standing beside you. Then he starts introducing a lot of things. Why? Just to distract us from the main goal and to make sure that we don't get anything from God's presence. These factors really affected a lot of people. In fact, almost all of us. Almost all of us. Another ground is a rocky soil. As the man was going, some of the seed fell on the what? On the rock. Abby? Then these ones, do you know what they do? You know, on the rock, there are some little sands. They are not much, but they are small. And most times, there's not anything going on, no too much activities. Then the seed will quickly go down. Pa! But before you know, you start seeing the seed up, springing. Those are the times when, by the time God is speaking, maybe God wants to explain John 3:16. And I just studied John, for God so loved the world. And God then said, do you know that I love this world up to an extent that if I want everybody to turn to me at once, it is possible. They say, huh? Is that true? Then God explained further. Instead of you still sitting down for more than God wants to say, what will you do? Ah! Revelation! Then look at the time. At least I've spent 30 minutes. They say, okay, let me go and visit Sister Mary. So by the time you get to Sister Mary, as you are talking with Sister Mary, do you know what I just studied now? See, when I was sick, see how God was breaking it. Then Sister Mary will start looking at you. Then by the time you finish, by the time you explain everything God has given to you, you are now short of what? Of words. Then say, I will see you again. If you look at that Matthew 13, downward. They went down, the seed actually went down. But the problem is that there is no roots. No roots to, the root has not gone down to hold the whole plant. So by the time the breeze, storm, everything is what? Is blowing. What will happen to it? The plant will just what? Just fail. And that's the end. That man said, I'm studying my Bible now. I study 30 minutes every day, but nothing is happening to me. The word of God doesn't have a good root inside us. It's not rooted. Then you see somebody that you got born again together. The person studied the way you study, and the person is talking, and the person's life is changing, and your own life is not changing, and you start thinking as if God is wicked. No. It is our own state of heart whenever we are standing before God. That's the problem. At this point, that thing that you believe that God speaks to you about, that you are already so strong, when somebody come and tell you something contrary to it, what will happen to you? You will believe that thing, you will throw it away. That's the same scripture. If somebody just come and twist the scripture otherwise, what will happen to you? You just go directly and say, I did not see that before. Why? Because that particular stuff doesn't have its deep roots inside of us. Then it should not lead us to what? To doubt. You start doubting God. Whether we what? We actually hear God. Or by the time we are studying, God is actually speaking to you. The next one is the one that fell among the thorns. But one thing is that ground is a good ground. But the problem is, it's full of what? Thorns. So this particular seed had good roots and it's coming up very well. But immediately it grew up to the stage of the thorns. Do you know what happens? They shook it up to an extent that it can't just move more than that level. It just what? Stay at that point. He received the word with gladness. Everything is there. But by the time the cares of this world, like what Alamide was explaining, just that word alone is enough. Look at you. Your mate already in the husband house. Look at where you are. Your mate are making money. Look at your life. Your mate has passed out from school. Look at you. Is this how you spend the whole of your life? That alone is enough to what? To spoil everything. Then you start thinking about it. Okay, I will call my uncle tomorrow morning. I will tell him to give me money for jam. I will start lesson. In fact, I will go for morning lesson, afternoon lesson. Then the other person, I will call somebody. Yes, for job opportunity. Then by the time you get that job, you have to wake up as early as what? 6 a.m. and come back when? 12 or 11:30 in the night. By the time you get to your bed, what is the problem? Can you study your Bible? All these things disturb receiving truly word of God, or God speaking to us in his presence. They affect us. They put our life on pause. They don't allow God to move ahead with us or to progress with our life. Let me move ahead. I want to finish this side because it will help us with this little explanation from yesterday till now. It will help us whenever we are going. In fact, even though not even Bible study, whenever you are going for your devotion, early morning devotion, you know that my mind, this is how my heart is supposed to be, where? In the presence of God. Because I am ready to receive. And you make sure that you get that heart very well, that Satan doesn't have what? A way in it. So that you can receive what we need for the day. The next soil is a good ground. And this good ground, very good soil, loamy soil. This one had not artificial fertilizer. This one is natural. That by the time you plant anything on it, what happened? It will grow very well. And you start seeing fruits here and there. That is when the word of God has its way in our life. We are not going to be the one to see the fruit. It is people around us that what? That will see the fruit. That is why the disciples were called Christians, because they saw the fruit in them. And because the word of God has his own way in their life. And all they could see around them is the life of Jesus. And they look and say, these ones, they are like what? They're like who? They're like Jesus. Nothing else but Jesus. Because the word of God has its way. Good ground, good soil. They guide their hearts very well. Where they allow the word of God to what? To help them. And this word leads us to within our hearts. In the presence of God. Because the only way to cultivate this good ground is to make sure that we weed our hearts. That day Jesus Christ was coming, and he gets into the temple, and he finds people buying and selling, and he was angry. See, this thing must provoke anger in us. I said, I want to stop this nonsense. I need to prepare myself to receive from God. He was angry, and he started beating them out. Until we beat out these stupid thoughts and the spirit of buying and selling in our hearts, we cannot receive anything from God. He said, this house is supposed to be a prayer place, a place where people kneel down part time and they pray. Not a place where they buy and what? And sell. So most times when we are studying our Bible, Satan is buying and selling in us. And this is what is happening. This one is keeping rope in our hearts. Another person is playing football in our hearts. These two people, they are fighting in our hearts. And a lot of activities in that same heart. By the time Jesus Christ is coming and gets close to this heart, what will he do? He will just turn back. You just turn back. Sincerely. We are the temple of what? Of God. So if our heart is like this, can God dwell in this particular place? His word cannot even have way. So he entered into the temple and he was angry. He was not happy with the state of things. We must get to a point where we are not happy with the state of things in our Bible study life. That is when change will begin. When we are still happy with the level we are, there is a problem. But when we get to a point where we are not happy with the state we are, At that time, we go extra mile to what? To guide our heart properly in the presence of God. And at that point, that's the heart that God can put his word, because he knows that that word will what? Will bear fruit. So most of us, the reason why we suffer is this. At that time, see, that suggests a lot of thoughts into our hearts. Serious thoughts. It's time to watch more when we are studying. It's time to eat. You are studying. Somebody gave me one film yesterday. I must return it today. Doing Bible study. Let's church on Sunday. I've not ironed it all. I must look nice. Then you open your wardrobe. Jesus Christ is already there, ready to talk. But at that point, remember that the clothes you put on or you wear to church, you've not ironed it. What will you do? You now stand up and open your wardrobe. Then what will Jesus do? He will just turn back and leave. I said, this one is not what? It's not ready. That is why we suffer. The scripture where Jesus Christ entered into the temple and sent out people that are buying and selling are Matthew 21, 12 to 13. Mark 11, 15 to 18. John 2, 14 to 16. John 2, 14 to 16. Then Luke. I think it's Luke 11. No, sorry, it's Mark. It's Mark 11, 15 to 18. Mark 11. To change our Bible study life, it's a work that we need to do by ourselves. It is our responsibility. We must get to a point where we are not happy with the state that we wrote that we are. Enough of going to every meetings and no changes. Enough of going to church every Sunday, receiving the word, and no changes. Enough of all these things. Changes everything. It starts from us. God will not come down and change our Bible study life. He's expecting us to what? To stand up on our feet and say, enough is enough. I want to have a walk with God. I want to have a what? A walk with God. And at that point, we'll be ready to do whatever it takes to set everything right. So I'll be stopping at this point. Then I will continue from where I stopped the next class. So I think it's time for question and answer. And before we start asking questions, please, Dashegun announced a particular assignment yesterday. Matthew 9, 11 to 13. For people that were in this class yesterday. Please. Just signify if you actually do my assignment. If you're in my class yesterday and you actually do my assignment, please let me just see your hand. If you do not do my assignment, please can you stand up? You were in my class yesterday and did not attempt my assignments. Please can you stand up? Eh? If you are in my class yesterday and you refuse to do my assignment, please. One, two, wait again. I'm waiting, oh. Last week, did you do my assignment? Okay. I have two people. Sit down. If you do my assignment, submit the assignment to Sister Mary. If you do my assignment, submit to Sister Mary. Then, by then, I will know if you actually attempt the stuff. And if you refuse to stand up, then you submit, they will see. Please, submit to Sister Mary. So, let's start. Any questions? This question and answer period, I have just 20 minutes to do this. Questions? Questions? I'm waiting. Up. Please, where is the mic? David, please help me with the mic. Questions. I have less than 20 minutes. Before I leave here.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I would want to ask, at least we've heard things about the heart being occupied with different things and different forms of heart and all of that. What I would want to know is, practically speaking, how can we get out of these issues? Because I know definitely is what happens to all of us. You want to study and then somehow your mind begins to flip back and forth and all of that. How can we make sure it doesn't happen? Because obviously all we want to know is not just the problem. Now we have seen the problem, how do we handle it and make sure that from today when we go home we can overcome this issue.
Amen. Okay. Lafemi said, how can we actually solve this problem of issue of buying and selling in the presence of God? One, like I said earlier, it's a point where we ourselves, we need to make up our mind. Do you understand? That this point, I want to go into the presence of God. And I want to receive from God. And distractions, you know that distractions has always been your problem. Do you understand? I know that distraction has always been my problem. Like the one I was saying yesterday, when David was asking, I said, as I was studying, and Satan just, something just come up for myself, and just said, look at this thing. By the time you preach it, it should be a revelation. Do you understand? And because of that, that stopped the flow of the Holy Spirit. Before I started praying for mercy. When I now start preparing further, one thing I do is, I first of all prayed and ask God to help me to stop every distraction at this point. Start asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. To what? To take away distractions and being conscious of myself, of making sure that I protect my thoughts and my heart. Most times we think that we can just walk into God's presence anyhow without preparing our hearts. And sometimes it's always affecting us. We just walk in. Then another way is, you can take spiritual song before you start your Bible study. You can play a spiritual song from your phone or from a tape. Trying to what? To go with it. Prayerfully following it. During that time, you are trying to what? Sort out your heart. As the song is going on, trying to focus, trying to divert your attention away from the things that is going on in our hearts. Things that are bothering us. As the song is going, before you know, you just get to a point where the whole of your heart is what? Is free already for God's word. Is what? Is free already for God's word. So it starts from us. I know that is my problem. Because after the first time, when I was studying again, the same thought was about coming. Then I said, no. There's no way. Then I started praying, Holy Spirit, guide me. All I want to do is just to be a two. Speak. So before I know, everything started going. But then I found that a lot of things I started playing a song. Then at a point, I paused. I started praying into the song. Then I came back again. I continued with my Bible study. And at that time, I'm free from everything. All the cares of this world. They could not have their way again. So, whenever we are going into the presence of God, let's prayerfully. You can't come from the flesh and enter into the spirit realm. We must prayerfully enter into God's presence. Binding every distraction. What Jesus Christ did is that He sent them out. He cleared the temple. He tried to make it what it's supposed to what to be. So we just need to clear the temple of our hearts, so it can be a what, a place where God can dwell. So we prayerfully enter into God's presence. Binding every distraction. Something happened yesterday. I was feeling sleeping around that side. And Pastor Okolo was coming to preach. And I was like, no. When this man is preaching, I will not sleep. And I will make sure that I set everything right. So as I was walking around, that was what is in my mind. So when he was sitting, I picked my Bible and my paper and my book and I was writing. Then the next thing I was doing is that I make sure that nothing disturbed me. So what I do is, when the man does make a statement, the next thing I do is ask the Holy Spirit, how can I balance it? How will you help me? So with that, what happened? I'm fixed. So as everything was just coming, it was just hitting me, then I was able to write. Some people will sit down. In fact, you will write, your heart may not be here. But we are to be conscious of that thing, guiding our hearts, knowing that this point, if anything that is of corruptible comes in, it will what? It will corrupt every what? Everything. So we protect our hearts from that thing. So first thing is, we prayerfully enter into God's presence, whether in song, whether in prayer. Then before you know, you are already focused. And we find ourselves in the presence of God. And the second thing is, we must be conscious that nothing is trying to run through our hearts. So that's...
I wanted to add something to what you just said now. In studying the Word of God, we must know the value of a quality time spent with God. In our time with God, that is where we receive instruction, we receive direction. Any projection into the future comes from our time with God. When we don't have an understanding of how valuable its quality time with God is, when we don't know how important it is that our day and our life should bring in with the Word. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through that Word all things were made. Whatever is going to stand strong in our life will be made by the Word of God. our lives will be transformed. The change that we need, everything is in our time with God. When we don't have that understanding and that value is not placed, is not in view, that you know, there's this song that says, "Majen wala irio," you know, that you come and you didn't see God, and the power and the strength that God is supposed to give to you, you didn't get it at the end. That will make that, not having that, that will just make our time with God a waste of time. Even, you know, understanding that we have to sing, listen to spiritual song, and the spiritual song that we pick is very important. There are some songs that I didn't know the value before until I started playing them. And you know, there are sometimes in my Bible study I just play only one or two songs. Just only one, and it keeps playing and it keeps playing. If you have good only one song that's very good, that will keep you in the realm, is enough. Keep playing it and keep playing it and keep playing it, and it will stabilize your time with God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is, how do we separate Bible study from personal devotion? Or should I say, Bible study from devotion? How do we separate the two?
Amen. Okay, but I think we will have something to say, but let me just... Pastor Kolo was saying something yesterday. He said, in our early morning devotion life, or in early morning time with God, we get the words. It's devotion is always an interaction time. Where, because we were saying that the best time is early in the morning, where you just wake up from your bed. And you are just, you started with worship, let's say you started with worship, and you were thanking him, worshiping for the previous nights and everything. Then from where you are talking, it can start speaking. Just from your worship, God can just what? Start speaking to you. For, because it's just happy, or it just feel like there is something I need to what? Drop in your heart. Do you understand? And sometimes there are thoughts that take us into the sleep that comes up that morning. And immediately we worship God, what do? We pour it out to God. Then we start talking about it. Do you understand? Most times what we study later in the day comes from what? From the devotion. From the instruction that God gave us earlier in the morning. So that particular place is a place that our spirit man needs to be refreshed for the day and get instructions for the what? For the day. So by the time we finish, because we can't be in devotion from morning to like 12 o'clock. Most of us are going to work, because you have to come down. At least you have children that you are doing morning prayer with and all those stuff. So you just have to do your devotion just to relate, commune with God very early in the morning. Know his thoughts for you today. Know what he's saying and what he's telling you and what he wants you to do, how he wants you to go about the whole day and all those stuff. In fact, from that place, he'll not tell you that. He can just tell you that all I want you to do today is study so scripture. So it is after you've done that and you pay attention to the things that you need to do very fast in the house, then he will come again and said, okay, now let's what? Let's move ahead. From where? From where you stop? Where? In the morning. Then that's when Bible study starts from. At that point, you start breaking it down. Maybe in the morning, God just made maybe two statements and he stopped at that point and he gave you scripture. So by the time you come back, he will now break those statements. By the time you finish, it's as if, I don't know, sometimes you just be happy because you find out that something has happened to your life. You have been fed very well. Do you understand? So that's the devotion is all about early morning interaction with God. Then the Bible study is knowing more from that experience. You understand? So let that family to help us.
I also want to quickly add that basically, our devotion, as you have said, is time to receive from God and all of that. But even when we come, there are many of the times that an issue that was raised in a particular day is not finished for that day. And you can have a subject, a topic on your devotional life, because it's about a life-changing thing, that may be followed through for a week or two or even a month. But it's on a devotional level based on your interaction with God. But Bible study can further diversify into studies of different topics and issues and lessons in the Bible. For instance, you want to learn about the life of Jesus. It might be what you want to study. And then that becomes a topic. You have another time that you have for your Bible study. So you pick that topic and you begin to look through the Bible to see it. Maybe it is prayer, or it could be how to be holy. You pick those topics. Those are issues for your personal Bible study. But suppose on your devotion, God is talking to you about maybe personal issues like anger in your life. You stay there. That he told you today that you have to do something about anger, then you just shake your head and then you go out and you come back tomorrow and then you say, okay, tell me another thing. Then something else jumps up in your mind. Maybe, you know, whatever. Those type of things are the reasons why a lot of things don't get done perfectly well in our lives. So if he has raised an issue, or you are the one that brought the issue, follow it through at that devotional experience so that you can record proper changes. Then for Bible study, it's that other extensive thing that you can have on different topics of choice.
In my own personal devotion, I'm studying two topics for this year. Do you understand? Wherever I stop, by following morning I go there and I'm like, God, please, this thing. Then God would sometimes will tell me that this last lesson you didn't learn it properly. You understand? Because it's supposed to be things that you used to behave. It's supposed to be what you act with. Praise the Lord. So devotion, as I said, sometimes it could be long, sometimes it could be short. But the goal of devotion is your personal life. You know, how the Bible is changing you, things God is saying to you as a person. You know, it's different from you're trying to understand the Bible or know one thing or the other about the Bible.
Thank you, Brother Bam. I think someone else asked question, the last question. The berating and sins.
So in the course of your studies, are you supposed to distraction? So I want to know why that. Because many of us will believe that in revelation is
He said dreams can be a distraction, and she's saying that most of us believe that dreams are like God speaks to us through dreams. I mean, that's what you're trying to say. Okay. You see, I used to think that people who see vision and trance, I used to think that they are spiritual. Okay, until God helped me to see some verses in the Bible that made me know, no, it's when you are not really spiritual that God speaks through those means. Yes, God speaks through them, but they are not the primary way by which God speaks. The primary way by which God speaks is His Word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke of old times to our fathers through the prophets. But He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And we know that the Son of God is Jesus. And in John 1:1, we know Jesus is the Word of God. Please, are you getting it? Now in Job 33, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says, God speaks once and twice, but man does not perceive it. Then verse 15 now says, in a dream, in a vision at night and all that. So if man had heard the first time or second time when God had spoken, he wouldn't have spoken through a dream. Are you getting it? So I'm sure that's what he was trying to point to, that instead of being distracted and blah blah blah, you know. But that's the difference between dreaming and as a distraction, or waiting on God, that God can speak to you through a dream. Are you getting it? If we are sensitive in our spirit to the word of God and what God is saying in our heart, we won't have that kind of problem. Please, do you understand? Please, if you have any other question, please just write it out. When we come back now for the next session, I'll answer your questions before I take the teachings. But I need you people to rest now for 30 minutes. Eh? We have to keep the time. Thank you very much. Let us pray briefly now and talk to God about our Bible study lives. Let's ask Him to help us to be more serious and to become what He wants us to be. Let's ask for His strength and His help and His assistance in making us all we are meant to be. Especially ask that the things that you have learned today, that God will give you the grace and the wisdom in learning how to put them to practice. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the session that has just ended. We say be exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that everything that we have learned, perfect it in our lives and make them our lifestyle in the name of Jesus. We appreciate you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
0803483085 0803853685 0807455 8177 0814099 1321,
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life